This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Jill Kaufman. Governor Charlie Baker has just ended a press conference where he spoke about the 2-year-old girl from Auburn, Massachusetts, in foster care who died Saturday afternoon.
The death of any child is a tragedy. We take it very personally, and we plan to continue to get to the bottom of these and to make the changes that need to be made so this doesn't happen going forward.
Paramedics found 2 other children, a 22-month-old and a 6-month-old, in the house, and both were taken to the hospital.
The Department of Children and Families had just visited the household on Wednesday. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman joins us now from the State House. Bruce, you were at the press conference. What more did Governor Baker say about this case in Auburn again? And let me just correct myself. The little girl who died is not necessarily from Auburn, but was there in a foster care.
Mm-hmm. Well, the governor said that his heart goes out to both the foster mom and the mom and the family involved in what he called this most recent tragedy. And he also said that the foster mom, the autopsy had been complete, and it does not look like the foster mom, he said that the foster mom is actually cooperating in this ongoing investigation.
So he couldn't say what was the result of the autopsy, that it was...
No. In fact, they're holding back any details about the investigation. They were very, very careful to say very little and tell us that they weren't going to tell us much until the investigation was completed.
Okay. So this family has their own biological kids. There were 3 foster kids total in this time in their house, and the little girl is now dead. The 2 other kids, one was in critical condition and one was taken into the hospital out of precaution. How are they doing? What's the latest with them?
They were in very serious condition. The younger child, the other one, was in for observation. We should say that there were, as you mentioned, there were 3 other children. And the governor said that they were allowed to have a total of 6 children in this small 2-story house.
So 3 foster and 3 of their own kids.
That's right.
Okay. So they're still under watch. Those kids are still in the hospital.
Yes, that's what we're led to believe.
So the foster mom, the foster mother, called 911 Saturday, and a police officer is being quoted by AP and by WBUR saying that they were very familiar with the mother. What else is known about this family?
Well, according to the governor, they actually hadn't, there were no calls to the police since she became a foster mother. Which is about a year and some months. So there were no problems. They did say that they wanted to increase in going forward the consulting with local police departments to check out people that goes above and beyond the Corey and the Story listings.
Do we know how old the mom is?
No. Was reading before. She's about mid-30s is what I think is
this is the foster mom. Okay. This also was a foster home that's been licensed by the state, right? This is through DCF and the state since 2014. And they've had previous children living in the home as foster children. Any other incidents that we know of at this point?
Not that we know of. I think the big story from here is that the caseloads for social workers has been soaring. It's the highest point it's ever been. The state takes care of 47,000 kids statewide. In Worcester County, I was speaking earlier today with Worcester Juvenile Court Judge Carol Erskine, and she said that since the past 18 months, there have been over 1,000 new cases. And she doesn't know why it's rising so dramatically. At today's news conference, actually, they suggested that it may be the opioids problem that may play a role. But they're very hesitant and they're very cautious to say they don't know.
Bruce Gellerman at the State House on Beacon Hill, thank you so much. I also just want to correct something I said. There were six kids in this home in Auburn. 3 are foster kids, 2 are biological, and 1 child was adopted.
That's right.
Well, as Bruce just mentioned at the press conference today, Health and Human Services Secretary Mary Lou Sutters mentioned that caseloads at DCF have increased 30% since December of 2013, the highest level ever in Massachusetts. She also said that they need to add social workers to stabilize the caseloads and bring them down. And as we mentioned at the top of this segment here, the DCF confirms that it was just 5 days ago, on August 12th, that a DCF social worker visited the house in Auburn where that little girl later was taken to the hospital and died. You know, there's going to be a lot of discussion about systemic problems at DCF. We have had them on the show and we will continue to have them. But we wanted to take a moment to consider, what if you were that DCF social worker who had been to that house? How would you feel if just days later you discovered that a child had died and that others were hospitalized? What's it like right now for that person and for other DCF employees? Well, Christian King is a social worker with the Department of Children and Families in Worcester. He's been doing that for nearly 20 years. He's also a candidate for Worcester City Council, and he joins us now. Christian King, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me, Magna.
Well, first of all, you know, what's your reaction? You do this day in and day out. When you hear of a child who's been grievously injured or died in this case, we don't know why in this case, but what's it like among social workers? What's the reaction?
Yeah, you know, I really don't have any information on this case, or, you know, and I certainly don't want to speculate. I can tell you that, you know, I've been a frontline social worker for almost 20 years, and, you know, I personally experienced death on a caseload. And it's something that sticks with you. It's something that you think about, you know, and, you know, it never really leaves you. You know, I think for all folks in child welfare, they get into the business to help families and to help keep kids safe. Mm. You know, and it certainly has an impact on you. And it has an impact on an office. It has an impact on regions and what have you. I mean, if you look at the Jeremiah Oliver case, for example, you know, it had a statewide implication, which pales in comparison to the impact it has on a family who loses their child.
Right.
You know, there is no comparison there. You know, that's something that's unspeakable. Unfathomable.
Well, Christian, if I may, I'm sorry to jump in there, but I want to be sure I heard you correctly. Did you say that in your 20 years that you had experienced a case where a child died?
A violent death of a teenager. I work with teenagers. It was a, you know, something inflicted by someone else in the community.
In the community, okay.
Something that unavoidable, but nonetheless, when you lose someone on your caseload, you know, it's a process.
Right. Because I was going to ask you that, you know, I wonder, again, being a frontline social worker, do you and your colleagues these days, or maybe every day when you visit homes and visit families, is there that worry in the back of your head that something could happen, you know, that several days later, you know, you might find that something was missed or something went wrong and the unthinkable happens?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, you know, the state of the department, you know, as it's now constituted, certainly, it's certainly a more often than not about doing the best you can with the resources that are afforded to you. You know, at this time, we're almost double the number of workers who are handling crisis level caseloads, you know, between December of 2013 and now. You know, we have double the number of workers with extremely high cases. And it's very difficult. And there's some things that just, you know, you do the best you can with what you're given. And I think the fact that, you know, we heard today in the press conference, you know, Governor Baker, and Secretary Sutter's committed to, you know, funding more social workers to hit the streets, more social workers in the homes, in the effort of child safety as it relates to child welfare.
Well, Christian, can you
get any better than that?
Yeah, and I want to. We're going to hear a little bit more about what Governor Baker had to say about that in a second. But I am curious. I mean, you're as close as most of us are going to get to really understanding day to day what it's like for DCF social workers and the families that they work with. Can you just tell me what happens in a home visit? What do you see? How much do you get to know the families and the children?
It's certainly a case-by-case basis, you know, and a lot of it speaks to the dynamics of the relationship between you and the family, you and the foster home, you know, and, you know, relationships improve if you have more time. More time is allotted when you have less cases. So it goes back to the caseload issue, you know. Again, I've been there 20 years. This is the highest cases we've had in my entire career of two decades.
Is there a particular problem in Worcester County, though?
You know, certainly the Worcester Juvenile Courts, as you mentioned with Judge Erskine, is definitely one of the busiest juvenile courts in the entire state. And I think the folks that come to work in Worcester and in central Massachusetts on a daily basis are committed and they're passionate and they're doing the best they can with the resources that we have. You know, one of the things that has come out of all of this increased activity is a lack of placements. We don't have foster homes. We don't have foster placements. We have families in the community who need to be services. There's tremendous wait lists, as Secretary Sutter's mentioned, for services. It's kind of a domino effect. When you have so many cases, you don't have the resources. We have folks searching for placements of new babies, infants, born addicted to opiates.
Yeah. But Christian, if I may just jump in here for a second, I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, but I am curious. I've heard you say a couple times that you don't have resources. And as you mentioned, both Governor Baker and HHS Secretary Mary Lou Sutter basically acknowledge that they need to add social workers to reduce the caseload, which, again, as we said earlier, Secretary Sutter said, has spiked by 30% since just December of 2013. But I also imagine a lot of people say, understood, more time, more resources, more social workers, but that nevertheless, DCF is still broken, that there should, under no circumstances, should we have a system where children end up dead.
I'm looking for the question there.
So I guess my question is, what's your response to that as someone who visits these families? Like, do you think DCF is broken?
You know, I think that it's certainly been documented. There's a host of systemic issues that have been outlined by the Child Welfare League of America, that have been outlined by the union, that have been outlined by individual social workers. And there's a challenge to kind of, as a social worker, it's a challenge to kind of navigate through those systemic barriers, and that's something that's ever present. You know, when we go out there, we're there, depending on the case, you might be there for an hour, you might be there for 30 minutes, you might be there for 2 hours, whatever it takes. But at the end of the day, you're definitely committed to child safety. Out of all this also comes safety issues for the social worker. Mm-hmm. As you know, there was an incident in Vermont, and we are in a heightened state right now across the Commonwealth with regards to safety.
Right.
Workers.
Well, Christian, I'm sorry to...
It's a very important job that we do.
Yeah, you're mentioning the case in Vermont where the social worker was murdered. Christian King, social worker with DCF in Worcester for almost 20 years. Thank you so much for giving us your perspective and for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Listeners, stay with us. We have more stories ahead. I'm Jill Kaufman.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.